Hi, this is Father Chris Ortega.
I'm Abby Byron Goslin.
And this is Casual Conversations with
It's Catholic Y'all. So today we are going to be talking about spiritual warfare and about kind of prayers that we can do to step into the authority that Christ has given to us by our baptism.
And this is going to be a two-part series. But okay, just real quick, just to let you know, whenever we begin a podcast, we start recording, we start praying this certain prayer. And we normally would, after we came from a break, just to start recording, all of a sudden it was just this movement of the Spirit, and we were like, we need to talk about this. And so what you're going to begin to hear after the intro is us beginning to pray the prayer. So I hope you enjoy, and that's how kind of the podcast kind of started to unfold itself. Okay, so ultimately the reason why we do this prayer, we've been doing this prayer every time we kind of walk in, is because we're physical, spiritual beings. In the physical realm, we're also spiritual. Like, we are interacting with other people who have their own stuff that they're dealing with, their own crap, their own hurts, woundedness, and they're interacting with people. And there is evil. There is spiritual evil, and yet there's a lot of like evil residual stuff that can cling on to them and to the workplace and the area that they're around. And so I've experienced it personally, and so has Abby, that sometimes like we can be in an area that we've prayed and then we've kind of claimed it all and asked for God's healing and protection. But the moment we step out of it for whatever reason, like we've prayed it here, but then because everybody else is out and around, like we start to interact with them, and it's almost like we like begin to kind of take that on, and it just kind of messes us up. Because it's not like someone is malicious on purpose. It's just the stuff that they're going through. And we're not quote unquote prepared to enter into those situations with them, to help them out in any way. Cause we're doing this right now. And so it's like we interact with that, and all of a sudden something has latched on and can affect the way we think, the way we're experiencing, the way we're feeding off each other, the way we're experiencing what God is trying to do in the midst of the conversation. And so this taking the ground prayer covers a lot of everything, pretty much everything, to cover our grounds, to make sure that anything that is done within this area is being protected and guarded, and if it's not of God, that it's completely taken out so that we can be free to just be ourselves. So nothing that is holding us back, there aren't any wounds, there aren't any hurts, so that there can be some clear communication, so that we can just fully interact with each other the way we need to, so then we can then communicate to the people what God wants them to hear. So that's kind of like why we, like, it's good for us to kind of take, do this prayer regularly.
Yeah, and we use this prayer, like, in other types of ministry as well. You know, so, like, before a big event or before a conference, we'll be praying this prayer. Because it takes the ground back and gives it back to God. So every time we sin in any way, we're giving ground to the enemy. And so realizing that our sins affect our environment, we're just basically reclaiming it and just saying, like, nope, this is God's, and it's going to return to him, and we're putting everything back in his hands so that everything that we do will glorify him. And we do consider this podcast a ministry, so it's an extension of both of our ministries, and that's just another reason to make sure that it's covered in prayer and what we're doing, so that we can maximize what God's able to do through it, and help reach the people that he wants us to reach.
Does that make sense? Do you have any questions about that? Like, do you have any questions about that?
No, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense, and even from a practical standpoint, that we leave, we stop doing what we're doing, we come back to recenter that and offer that to God.
Exactly. Yeah. So real quick, right before we begin that, just to let you know, Tim, like, personally, like, currently right now, because we just went out and about, like, I now have like this heaviness like on my chest, like it's a bit heavy, it feels a little painful, not that it's hard for me to breathe, but it's just kind of like almost that something like is eating away at me. It's kind of almost like the experience of like there's something I'm missing, something like not there, there's something like off, that experience, like people have different experiences, but that's kind of what I'm going through, and like it's, and it has like a physical feeling to me as well. In the moments then when we begin to pray this prayer, it's like everything is released. Like things just kind of are taken out that shouldn't be there. All right, so let's go ahead and pray this prayer.
Oremos.
As opposed to oremos, because oremos is Spanish and oremus is Latin.
Very nice.
All right. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We repent of all known and unknown sin, and we put it all under Jesus' blood on the cross. We praise God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, leaving our day behind us. We put on Christ the helmet of his salvation, the breastplate of his righteousness, the belt of his truth, the sandals of his peace, the sword of his spirit, and the shield of his faith in us. Putting on the armor means that we can come through Jesus to the Father's throne, where anything we ask will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so we come boldly. Using our authority in Jesus, with the owner's permission, we cleanse time, place, and people of any demonic stuff brought into the room. With Jesus, we bind all strong men in every part of us to an effectiveness by the cords of the Holy Spirit. With Jesus, we bind all enemy plans to distract or stop the ministry God wants done. With Jesus, we bind all false gifts, demonic or fleshy tongues, knowledge, etc. With Jesus, we ban all communication with outside enemy agents, speaking the Babel effect into their communication lines. With Jesus, we ban any transfer of spirits to us, to family members, or back to any cult. With Jesus, we break all ties or nets the enemy has sent among us to cause deception or disunity. With Jesus, we break all curses, hexes, or spells sent against us by cult members. With Jesus, we break every enemy design or weapon for use against us, for no weapon formed against us can prosper. With Jesus, we command all vows of silence to be broken so that people are free to speak as God intends. With Jesus, we command all enemy agents, including astral and human spirits, to leave and not return. With Jesus, we command there is to be no retaliation to anyone belonging to us in any way, nor to our artifacts or belongings, internal or external. We ask for the Father to surround us with his covenant promises, for the Holy Spirit to cover us with his light and power, for Jesus to send any angel he wants here to assist us in this battle, so that we are fully functioning with Jesus our Lord, for the Father's delight and by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Your light, your power, your love.
Yes, Lord.
Guide and direct our conversation. Just help us to speak about what you want us to speak about. Help us to hear you clearly, to know your will.
Thank you, Jesus, for the freedom, for releasing anything that is not meant to be here, for casting it out. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind any evil spirit of deafness, of
confusion,
blocking the hearing. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I cast you to the foot of the cross. I bind your minion and companion spirits. You have no authority here. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Any evil spirit of uncertainty, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Skepticism.
Evil spirit of doubts, of skepticism, of heaviness.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Affliction.
Oppression. Oh. Legalism, religiosity, scrupulosity, all of the things we just talked about. All to the foot of the cross for Jesus to deal with as he sees fit.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of something that's still internal there. The evil spirit of lies. Bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You who speak false truths. You who speak false truths to the way we see life. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you individually and separately, and I cast you to the foot of the cross to receive your sentence.
What would be the one of, like, speaking things against other people?
Detraction? Criticism?
Maybe detraction.
Slander? Ooh, yeah, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind slander, we bind detraction, you evil spirits. your minion and companion spirits, and we cast it to the foot of the cross.
My backstabbing spirits. To the foot of the cross, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh.
The minion spirits of doubt. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You minion spirits of impurity, minion spirits of lust, those varying degrees, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we cast you to the foot of the cross. Spirits of infirmity, spirits that bring about inflammation, that bring about physical ailments, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I cast you to the foot of the cross. You have no authority over us. You have no authority over the work God wants done. You have no authority over our brothers and sisters that are listening to this now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you individually and separately. I bind all aforementioned spirits and their minion and companion spirits. I bind you individually and separately, and I cast you to the foot of the cross.
Lord, in every place where you've taken these spirits, these things out, we just ask that you would replace them with your health, with your goodness, with your peace.
Your truth, your beauty, clarity.
Yeah. Mm. Your wisdom.
Send down your virtues, your angels of justice, of light, purity, of grace, of healing, of receptivity, docility, humility, integrity, the dignity of the human person, those that minister to proper sight and hearing.
Heal us in your precious blood.
Yep. Seal all doors, all windows, all openings, alleys, gates. Seal them in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Lord.
Just break down any false structures or beliefs, false foundations. Just restore us to the true foundations of who you are and who we are to you. Bringing us into proper order with you, with your will, Lord.
Father, just show us the open heavens. Pour down your generosity, your faithfulness upon us. More, Lord, more of you. More of your healing, more of your goodness. More of your faithfulness, more of your spirit. More, Lord, more. Speak into the hidden places. May your voice resound. Speak forth, show forth your light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Spirit.
Praise you, God. We lift your name on high because you are awesome and almighty, Lord.
Praise you, God.
Holy, holy, holy.
Glory to you, Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will and shall be, world without end. Amen. Let's just talk about that.
Mm-hmm. That's the direction I think we're supposed to go.
Yeah, totally. First of all, so not to put you on the spot, Tim, but so with that, do you feel anything different, experience anything different, or you're just like, oh, that was good, or
oh, when are they going to start talking and actually doing the podcast?
That's perfectly fine if that's how you felt.
It's hard for me to say I feel something different. Mm-hmm. It definitely is something that kind of stops you and very intentionally makes you stop and think, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. That kind of very introspective, you know, what are you doing? We're podcasting, a Catholic podcast, speaking about faith issues. So this is something that's really stopped us and made us intentionally think about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In doing that prayer, what I began, there was what are you doing? You're like playing with the chair. You're like
trying to not be a short.
You're like swiveling around, and you start like swiveling around, and you start going down. It's like, where is she going?
Exactly.
Is this an elevator in here?
Elevator up, elevator down.
So
now my feet won't touch the bar. This is just like
here. Take this stool.
Okay. Oh yay! Do I need to get up for it to go up?
No, it's just
there. Stuck. It's going.
Okay. Yes. Producer Tim to the rescue, saving my feet.
What do you call himself, monkey?
Camera monkey.
That is up as it goes.
That is perfect. Oh, so much better. Thank you. Okay, I was like, I need to sit, but like, I don't want to sit and feel like I'm like
hunched,
looking up at you.
Oh, I see. Because you're yeah.
Yeah,
like a little
not
kid
that I have anything wrong with looking up at, you know, but like it's just awkward.
So the part where I started to actually experience something beginning to lift were with the words of the prayer, putting on the armor means we can come through Jesus to the Father's throne, where anything we ask will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we come boldly. And it was almost like something switched in me. Where it just kind of was like, okay, let's do this. And it was like I was like aligned to begin to do the rest of the part of the prayer. And there mm-hmm. were different parts of the prayer where I kind of felt like something released, like something kind of like I just felt a little, just a release from the heaviness that was on my chest that was there. I don't even know. Like one of them was definitely that – with Jesus, we ban all communication with outside enemy agents speaking the babble effect into their communication lines.
Right.
And there was kind of a release for me there. And it was just like, okay, good. So, like, we're banning their communication, you know. We're speaking the babble effect. So, if you remember, babble effect is just no one knew what they were saying.
Right.
So, we're speaking the babble effect from the Tower of Babel into the enemy line, into their lines. So that they don't understand each other, so that we can, you know, fully communicate and just be free of any of their doing.
Yeah, that way, like, any kind of assignments that are against us or anything that the enemy is trying to do, if the enemy can't communicate back and forth with each other, then, like, it kind of shoots their plans
right.
Back to hell, basically. it's a very real thing. I think people don't necessarily understand that, like, our enemy is intelligent. And he's strategic.
Mm-hmm.
And so this prayer is also strategic in the sense that it's blocking every possible avenue for any kind of an attack whatsoever and putting everything back into Jesus's hands.
Yeah. What else? With Jesus, we break all curses, hexes, or spells sent against us by cult members. I think when I first learned this prayer and I saw that, I was all like, okay, are we all medieval? Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. But then just to realize, I mean, there is a spiritual reality that, God, you know, God is powerful. He is good. But the spiritual reality that there is also evil and it's still around. And that those things are real. The curses, hexes, spells, like all the various things from the occult. I don't think we realize how much we're actually being afflicted by those things.
Right. Or that just as you and I are in active ministry as Christians, There are people that are in active, like, anti-ministry as Satanists, and not to, like, go totally in the direction of, like, fear and blowing things out of proportion, but there are followers of Satan that are actively attempting to stop what God wants done. And just as you and I walk alongside people to help them grow in their faith, Satanists would attempt to try to prevent that from happening and occasionally target people, especially people that are in ministry actively.
Now, something just to kind of keep in mind, though, is that, like, one of the tactics that the enemy wants to bring about, the Satan wants to bring about, is just fear.
Absolutely.
Like, if he can get us into fear, that paralyzes us, and we don't want to go further. And so even if you're hearing this right now, you're like, oh, I'm freaking out right now. It's like, realize that who has created all of creation? You know, like, who has won the victory over sin, over death, you know, over Satan? It's Jesus Christ. And as baptized Christians, like, the victory of Christ is inside of us. You know, it's that reality of leaning into the victory of Christ and just realizing that, you know, the enemy is going to be the enemy and he's going to try to freak us out. And what we need to do is learn how to renounce the lies, how to reject them, and then stand firm on the truth of, like, no, you know, Jesus has already defeated you. And so I'm going to lean into that. And, you know, I'll do what I need to do to kind of to break any kind of things that you're trying to throw at me.
Yeah, and to stop being victims, right? So, like, when we're in passivity about these things, or when we're trying to minimize them, like, we're totally in a victim mode, and God calls us to be victors, not victims.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a beauty in entering into the victory of Christ. Like, we ourselves are meant to be victors into that.
Yep. But we have a choice of whether or not we step into it. So we're not saying go out there and learn everything you can about all of this kind of stuff, but it is good to be aware of, and good to realize that we do need to be actively praying against the things that are of darkness, and not afraid to push back, because they have no qualms about attacking or having strategies against us. And so our strategy is prayer, in stepping into the victory of Christ and proclaiming that.
Yeah. And again, like, I kind of feel like there might be, like, a sense of fear that's still welling up. I want to speak God's goodness into that, His faithfulness. Like, God is faithful. He is there. He is constant. And then that's what we need to lean into. And that phraseology, like, you need to lean into. Imagine you're, you know, with your buddy, with your friend, you know, your boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, or with your parents. Remember your parents. And when you're kids, you would just kind of lean on them, you know, especially, like, if you're at a couch, you're just kind of leaning into them, and you're letting them be the one that supports you. Or even if you're standing, you're kind of leaning against them, letting them be what grounds you. And it's the same thing when we begin to think about our relationship with the Father, when we begin to our relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. It's us leaning into the victory and letting their authority, letting their power, their healing be within, grounds us, and then we embrace that and we become vehicles of that, vessels of that. And so, you know, God is already powerful. Like, God is, he's already conquered Satan. He's already conquered, you know, the evil one. And as we live out our lives as Christians, we're living out that victory, and we're reclaiming our lives. We're reclaiming areas, our homes, you know, with, like, house blessings and stuff. You know, we're just saying, like, okay, this is where Jesus needs to be, because this belongs to him. Like, this belongs to the Father. And this is where we're going to dwell, and we're going to live as we ought to. And so it's really entering into that, you know, that life. When we're praying the rosary, when we're, you know, going to Mass, going to confession, whether or not you realize it, you are actually, you are taking out a lot of the evil from your lives when you're entering into those very beautiful moments of adoration, of praise and worship. Like, you are entering into just the fullness of God's healing, of his protection, of his goodness. And it's casting out evil. We don't really talk about that because people freak out. But that is the reality of the situation, you know. Evil cannot stand the presence of God. You know, they flee at the name of Jesus.
Yeah, and God calls us to faith, not fear. That's something I've really been praying with a lot lately, is that we're called to faithfulness, not fearfulness. And I mean, we're going to have fears. Even those of us that have been in ministry for a very long time, like, we still have personal fears, we still have professional fears and ministry fears. So it's not a matter of, like, not having fear, but it's a matter of what we're doing with those. If we're allowing them to take hold of our lives and kind of become these idols, so to speak, or these excuses for why we're not moving forward with things, that is all just giving leeway to the enemy to be more active in our lives. Like, fear feeds the enemy, and he will take every opportunity to use it, to exploit it, and to make himself look big and bad and mean in your life. And the moment that you stop feeding him... a good friend of mine, just to, like, put this in a little bit of a lighter perspective, a good friend of mine used to talk about it this way. He said, think of it this way, Abby, there's two dogs. You have an option of which one you're going to feed. There's a white dog and there's a black dog, right? So the white dog is this dog of virtue and of beautiful things, and the black dog is the one of vice and of sin and darkness. And just so you know, like, if you do have a black dog, like, I'm not saying don't feed your dog. I love black labs. It's one of my favorite types of dogs. So I love black dogs. But in this case, in this spiritual metaphor, please don't take it beyond the metaphor. Just take it as a metaphor, in the sense that you don't feed the black dog. You continue to choose to feed the white dog. And what happens is, as you feed that white dog over time, the black dog begins to waste away and diminish, right? So, like, whatever this thing is that's in your life that you're struggling against, whatever this big, massive fear is, as you choose to choose faith instead of fear, and you choose to stop feeding it, it shrinks, and it's going to diminish, and it's going to get smaller. And just, like, a scripture passage to give you, if fear is something that you struggle with, a friend of mine shared this with me when I was in college, and there were a lot of spiritual attacks happening when I first started to turn back to God. It was actually kind of overwhelming just how hard the enemy tried to keep me from turning back to God and to keep me from getting into the faith deeper. And this friend, one night when I couldn't sleep because of the attacks that were happening, and I was just, like, in this total place of, like, paralyzed fear, he sent this to me, and it has stuck with me ever since, and it's something that I continue to turn to in moments of struggle. And it's Psalm 91:4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield. So even if we're not in a place where we can choose faith, God's faithfulness is a shield. And if we just remember that he covers us, that he desires to protect us, and that he wants good things for us, he doesn't want us to be afraid. If you're struggling with faith, it's just simply turning to him and saying, Lord, help me. Help me choose faith over fear. Help me enter into that faithfulness rather than this fearfulness.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a passage from 2 Timothy 1:7. And it was something that, a really great scripture passage, you know, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And there are other, you know, different translations of that. God did not give us a spirit of fear. You know, he didn't, and the timidity of cowardice, but he gave us the spirit of power and love of self-control. Self-control or self-disciplined or a disciplined spirit, powerful, loving, and disciplined spirit. And so that, you know, this is what we received at baptism, but ultimately at confirmation. It's this powerful spirit that we are able to really engage in, really engage in, and enter into this beauty of living in the hope of the victory of Christ. You know, being a Christian isn't just this, like, okay, you know, Sunday, you know, 1 hour, and I do my rosary every now and then, and this is what I have, how many novenas going to pray. Like, it is that, but it's also, like, the everyday, you know, the everyday life of interacting with people, of living out as we ought, and yet it is also, you know, engaging in any kind of what I call, like, spiritual maintenance. of being able just to kind of do an examination of conscience and be like, you know, did I pick anything up today when I was interacting with some of my coworkers because they're going through stuff, or, you know, when I was, you know, driving, you know, did the road rage come? Why did that come? You know, did things begin to flare up? Are things latching on or coming after me? And it's just spiritual maintenance is just really entering into this time of prayer and just, you know, casting out, speaking against those things that shouldn't be there, kind of in the, like, the prayer that we prayed. And just, you heard me kind of using the verbiage of binding and casting. You know, that isn't an exorcism prayer per se. Exorcists do pray, but that's part of our common priesthood. Remember, when you're baptized into the three roles of Christ, of priest, prophet, and king. And so we all have a common priesthood that we enter into. So because we're baptized Christians, the authority that Christ has over evil is the same authority that we have. So it's a prayer that the common layperson, the everyday person, the man, woman, is able to pray for this, I don't know how else to say it, but like this cleansing of freedom, you know, to say like, oh, wow, like I really feel like I've entered into gossip or to there's a hatred that's really kind of rising up. I don't know where it's coming from. And just to always do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, to be able to say in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind this evil spirit of anger and I cast it to the foot of the cross, you know, just to be able to bind these various, you know, other images, ways to describe it to people, you know, if you can think of any like negative characteristic that you kind of were experiencing that day, you know, those negative things aren't what we meant to be as men and women of God. And so there can possibly even be like spirits that are like frustrating us. They're causing that over amount of stress. And those are the things that don't allow us to be free. You know, to be just who we're meant to be, just son of God, daughter of God, to be able to then be free to deal with the fact that my father is going through cancer, to deal with, you know, the life at home and my children, to deal with stuff that's going on in work. Like sometimes we're so bogged down by things that we feel like we're chained down as we're trying to fix situations and help out the people that we need to help out or deal with my life as I need to. And these small little prayers help out with that, entering into the authority of Christ, knowing that that's part of our heritage. You know, we've inherited that authority in our baptism and in confirmation, and then to be able to bind and cast things out so that we can then be free. And then like parents have that authority over their children to be able to free their children to, you know, make sure that they can fully grow as young men and women in the Lord.
Yeah, among my friend circles, we just kind of, I guess, in a lighthearted way, kind of refer to this type of praying as taking names and kicking butt, because that's basically what you're doing.
You've never said that.
No, I haven't. But yeah, like jokingly, we'll just say like, oh, you're taking names and kicking butt. Like, and that really is what you're doing as a Christian, is like, you're just like, nope. Enough's enough. I'm done. Get out. Like, yeah. Be gone, Satan. Like, you have no authority here. The sad thing is, like, so many Christians have no idea the authority they've been given by virtue of their baptism.
Yep.
And the reality is, like, the devil will spend your entire life trying to get you to forget who you are and trying to get you to not step into that authority.
Right.
Because the moment you do, he can't touch you.
Yeah.
It's like he loses... you know, he loses so much ground.
Yep.
In your life and in your family's life as you really start to call it like it is. Because, I mean, one of the things I've seen in my own family is, like, we, in the past, we had struggled with a lot of division and disunity and just really turning against each other. And now that we all kind of have more of an understanding of spiritual warfare and how that works, the freedom and the healing that that's brought, because there are situations where we might be tempted to get into an argument that's going to hurt each other, and somebody has the presence of mind to like hit the pause button and be like, okay, what's really going on here? Like, there's an attack that's happening and we just need to pause, and we, like, maybe we need to come back to this later, or maybe we need to just pray in this moment. But just becoming more and more aware of what is of God and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this like in meetings too. Like, I One of the biggest problems, like I think in ministry, is that we don't always cover what we're doing in prayer, and we make it so much harder on ourselves when we forget to like appeal to God and to appeal to his protection. And like, it's like we take it for granted. It's like, well, because I'm a minister of the church, like I'm, you know, covered and I don't have to like, you know, pray, which is ridiculous. As a minister of the church, like you have to pray even more. And that realization that like everything you're doing needs to be grounded and rooted in prayer. Yeah. And if it's not, like, what is it grounded in? Is it grounded in you? Because if that's the case, we're all in trouble because it's going to be in the flesh and not in the spirit. And good luck with that. It's not going to bear a whole lot of fruit. It's going to be stagnant more than likely and not nearly what God is desiring. So if we're really wanting to like have excellence in what we're doing in ministry, like it has to be rooted and grounded in prayer. And we have to be aware. I make sure that like our student leaders, when they step into leadership roles in our campus ministries, one of the first things that they're taught about as a part of their leadership formation is spiritual warfare. Because if they're coming into a position like that and they don't have an understanding of what they're actually saying yes to and what they're coming up against the moment they do say yes to it, you know, for lack of a better word, they're going to get slaughtered because the enemy does everything he can to stop leaders in the church and to stop us in ministries. And the tools, the weapons that he uses to do that, the biggest weapon that he uses is discouragement. And it's really easy for us to get discouraged and to then blame God for that. And then, boom, there's this immediate divide that's going on and our ministry becomes rooted in something other than God.
Yeah, so it's really like the thing is to also keep in mind, like I know sometimes when we begin to talk about the spiritual realm and, you know, spiritual warfare, you know, we call it out for what it is. Call it out for what it is. Don't like over exaggerate it, you know, don't give the devil more authority. Like, oh, that is the devil. You shouldn't. It's like, what? Hold on. Like, just
God's
call it
bigger.
You know, God is bigger. You know, we call it for what it is. He does have, you know, he might have an influence or whatnot. But from that moment, we just say, like, nope, you don't have any authority. And so, I remember someone saying, like, true humility is giving the credit where it is due. And by that is like you acknowledge the truth, the reality of the situation, of the individual or whatever it may be. And so you acknowledge the faults, but you also acknowledge the good that is there. And so we need to be humble about the spiritual life. We acknowledge, yeah, the devil does work. Yes, sometimes he latches on. But you know what? The truth and the reality of the situation is like Jesus has already defeated him. And we have inherited that authority to be able to tell the devil that he doesn't have authority here. And so, but that said, we also need to be cautious because, you know, it's not like, well, I'm going to go into haunted houses now. I'm going to start doing this. Like you just want to be careful of that, that we also need to be, you know, grounded, and we need to be spiritually mature, and we need to be able to touch base with, you know, a spiritual director, someone who's more spiritually formed, a mentor of some sort that can guide us. We cannot fall into the pride that we can just do anything we want. And one real quick thing I wanted to say, I was in this meeting. So kind of to describe, because Abby mentioned, you know, whenever we're entering into meetings and not praying and whatnot. So I was in this meeting with my Hispanic community, and for whatever reason, like there's been, you know, every community is going to be different. But I don't know if anyone has ever experienced this or not. But in the meeting, it's like someone would speak, and then no one would really hear what they were saying, and then they would speak over that person, and then it was like no one was understanding each other. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I remember thinking, wait, it's almost like the Babel effect is happening here.
It's a like, twisting spirit.
And so, yeah. And so underneath my, so I was at the meeting and I'm just writing stuff on the board because I'm having them troubleshoot, get some ideas out there. What are some things that we can do? How do we plan? And I noticed this dynamic. And so then under my breath, I prayed, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind this spirit of the Babel effect. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ and I cast you to the foot of the cross. And I kid you not, the moment, and I'm not saying this out loud, it was all kind of under my breath, and I'm looking at everybody, and I'm making this intention over the whole group, and I kid you not, the moment I finished that prayer, someone then said something, and immediately it's like everyone heard her, and then they responded to what she just mentioned, and then some, and then they began to actually coordinate and walk with each other and deal with all the dynamics of the topics and everything they were talking. Like, they actually heard and spoke. And I was, you know, I'm on the board, and all of a sudden I didn't freak out, but I was like, oh, that just happened. Like, I just prayed this over them, and all of a sudden we all began to work the way we're supposed to work. We're all free to be ourselves, free to listen and speak. So yeah, there, you know, when we talk about, you know, having meetings, and, you know, we pray, you know, that God's blessing comes in and we're able to be able to speak as we ought to.
Yeah, and I think we're probably going to turn this into a two-part, because there's definitely more that I think we can cover in this. And I want to make sure that we, like, give you all some good tools to be able to use, as well as you kind of hopefully become more aware of these situations in your life where the enemy may be at work and where God wants to take ground back. We just want to make sure that we give you some practicals that you can take away in that. So we will do that in the follow-up podcast after this.
All right.
Father, you want to close us in prayer?
Dear Jesus, we just ask that you continue to shower your many blessings upon us, that we may be open, that we may be equipped to go out and be able to proclaim your goodness, your healing, your victory, your freedom over every aspect of our hearts, our lives, of our loved ones. We lean into you, oh Father. We lean into your love, into your mercy, into your fatherly care, that you may cover us with the blood of Jesus, seal us with the blood of Jesus, so that the only things that we are able to receive are things that come from you, that come from your Son, and that come from Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You are good. You are welcomed here. And we ask that you may transform us into the men and women you have called us to become. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.